Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the gifts of God and the God who gave them. Thank you. Good morning once again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. We're glad you're here. Those of us who've been around for a while would like to get to know you, shake your hand, make you feel welcomed. If we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we would love to know you and we would love for you to make a home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in the things that God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of those listed in your bulletin insert. I'm just going to lift up a few. First of all, our stock sale continues to support our youth mission trips for the summer. Michael Hoffman and Richard Ferraro will be in Reed Hall after the service. They'll be glad to help you support the youth in this way if you haven't already. Also, it's time again for Children's Summer Sunday School. We still need folks, teachers for the fours, the fives, kindergarten, and the combined first and second grade. It's a really simple and easy thing to do. Call Becky Peeler. She can prepare you with materials and make you ready to help these children and get to know these children even better. So if you feel God nudging you or urging you toward this, give Becky Peeler a call. I know she'd love to hear from you. Finally, the pictorial directory is coming up. You'll see some sign-up boards out in Reed Hall. The June dates are June 17 through 19 and 24 through 26. The August dates are August 8 through 10 and 13 through 15. This is really a very helpful thing for a congregation. I hope many of you, all of you, will have your photographs made. It's helpful to new members, but it's also helpful for those of us who've been around for a while. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. Now look around you. What do you see? People? Beautiful flowers? Beautiful windows? A flame? When we look around, what we're really seeing is that great mystery that God has planted in each and every one of us and in all of creation. Thanks be to God.
Rest with firm and eternal grace. praise, O God, you we praise. School has come to a close, vacations are planned, life changes from day to day. You shower us with your hope. You offer us help in every moment.
You be praised, God. You be praised.
You may be seated. Please join with me in our colic of purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear now these words of invitation. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? The word of God for the people of God.
Well, here we are at the end of the Easter season, and this is the concluding sermon about creation care. So it might be a little surprising to see that the text comes from Job, because for most of us, we think Job is about exploring to find an answer to why bad things happen to good people, right? Well, if that's its purpose, it fails miserably. It doesn't give an answer. Now, if you look at the beginning and the end, the folktale part of Job, it seems fairly straightforward. He loses everything, his family, his property. He suffers from a terrible skin disease. At the end, everything is restored. Seems to balance. There's just one problem. All of those speeches that appear in between, the dramatic dialogue that takes place between Job and his friends, as his friends try to explain to Job, who is sitting out scraping his poor wounded skin, to explain to him why he deserves to suffer what he's suffering. And Job, the least patient person in the Bible, refuses their explanations. No, Job knows that the scales don't really balance. He understands that there's nothing he could have done, at least not to his knowledge, that would bring down upon him the kind of suffering that he's experienced. And so he demands that God come down like a prosecuting attorney and present the case against him, to prove the case that he deserves what he's suffering. But that's not exactly what happens. What happens is that he doesn't get an answer. He doesn't get a case presented against him. He gets an encounter with the living God. You heard just a brief piece of it. This goes on for chapter after chapter after chapter. Where were you, God says, when I was laying the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I was creating the storehouses of the snow, the storehouses of the hail? God, the Creator, is describing that mystery that has been woven into all of creation, that Job will never fathom, that we will never fathom, but that we can experience and do experience. Job gets a relationship with the living God. Now, it's interesting that when all of this is done and Job has finally admitted that he wasn't around when any of this happened, he didn't make any of this that he received as a gift. When he finally acknowledges his own limitations in understanding, God requires that Job's friends, who have been explaining to him why he's gotten what he deserves, should offer a sacrifice so that Job can pray for them. Because, as God puts it in the book of Job, you did not speak rightly about me, but Job did. Job, who was impatient, Job, who demanded of God an explanation, demanded a case, spoke rightly, because Job would not settle, would not take any kind of theological explanation that really did not fit his experience and say that it was true when he knew in his heart of hearts it wasn't. I think what's going on here in this encounter with God is that Job's circle of compassion is growing larger than his circle of understanding. Job doesn't understand a whole lot about what's been going on in his life. But having experienced what he has, not only does he pray for his friends, which interestingly enough is the beginning of his own restoration, his praying for his friends, but ultimately he's a changed man. At the end of the story, even in the folktale, those changes are reflected. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Of course, they don't replace the ones he lost. But it's interesting that the 3 daughters are named. Very rare. And the writer says explicitly that the 3 daughters are given an inheritance, a share of the inheritance, along with the sons, which is highly unusual, unless there were no sons at all. Job is a changed man. His circle of compassion has expanded beyond his circle of understanding. Now, when we look at creation in our day and time, we think we understand a lot, don't we? I mean, we understand about molecules and atoms and subatomic particles. We understand about black holes and quarks and a lot of other words that I could say and would have no idea what I was talking about. We have explored the intricacies of this creation, and we think we know a whole lot about it. But we haven't come into relationship with the whole of creation. We haven't learned to love beyond our understanding. And believe me, if we could not love beyond our own understanding and its limitations, we couldn't love anybody. You couldn't love your parents, your children, your spouse, your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend. You don't really understand those people. I know that. Don't sit there looking like you do. But we love them beyond our understanding. Job is learning to love the creation beyond his. We can learn that same thing. Seems to me that's the basis of creation care. Creation is not just there for us to use, to exploit for our purposes. It's not just there for us to explore and explain. We weren't there when all of this wonderful creation came to be. But it was given to us as a gift, and we can offer respect and love, the kind of love that is a policy, not a feeling. For other people, even though they may be very different in their backgrounds, culturally, their upbringing, we can show respect and love as a policy to creation as well. As many of you already know, Bishop Roy Clark died this past week. His service is going to be Wednesday at 2 here in the sanctuary, visitation before. John will say more about that later. So this past week, I've been thinking a lot about Bishop Clark. And on the last visit I made to him, I got to know Bishop Clark 40 years ago. 40 years ago this month, I was ordained a probationary member of the conference and a deacon, which was just a step toward elder at that point. And for some reason, I'm not sure why, Roy Clark took some of us deacons out to lunch. I don't know if he was assigned to do that, or just chose to do that. But I was very impressed that the senior pastor at West End United Methodist Church would invite a bunch of brand new deacons to have lunch with him. Now that I serve in that role, I know it's considerably less impressive. The role is, but Roy Clark was impressive. The person was. He welcomed us as colleagues. And so I've been his colleague in one way or another for 40 years. Last time I visited him, we were talking about lots of different things, but the way his mind had changed over the years. We were talking about how he had grown up in a segregated society, a segregated church, and he had expanded his understanding beyond that. Even in his 90s, he was dealing with some of the issues of sexuality within our church and expanding his understanding beyond where it had been, still growing and learning. My mother had a word for that. I didn't hear about liberals and conservatives growing up. My mother sliced up the world in different ways. For my mother, there were people who were broad-minded. That was her term for it. And broad-minded people were people who were interested in learning new things. And those people could be at anywhere along the spectrum, politically or socially or whatever, but they were interested in experiencing new things and learning new things and taking that insight into themselves and growing. Now, the opposite of that were folks who were narrow-minded, and you did not want to be that, in my mother's estimation, because a narrow-minded person had stopped learning. And for her, someone who had stopped learning might as well be dead. I think Roy Clark was broad-minded in the very best sense of the word. But even better, and I'm creating a word here, he was broad-hearted. He had learned to love beyond his understanding, beyond what his mind could conceive, and reach out beyond any explanations he might have for this world and why it is the way it is. Ultimately, like Job, we encounter that mystery. And unless we can love beyond our understanding, we can't embrace that mystery. There are some folks who will tell you that before you come to receive communion, you have to understand what's going on. Well, if that were the case, none of you could come and take it, and I couldn't serve it. Because it is a holy mystery. It is beyond our rational understanding. God is present to us in a way that we cannot explain. Just like God was present to Job in a way that Job could not explain, but could experience. Here again, everyone is invited without exception to this table. Because it's not about understanding it. It's about an encounter with the living God that is transforming for us, that helps us reach out beyond what we can explain, reach out beyond any of the answers we have, broaden our minds, but more importantly, broaden our hearts so that that compassion that God wove into the very creation itself, that compassion that walked among us in the person of Jesus Christ, is reflected in our lives as well. So my prayer as we invite you to come and share this holy meal is that we will all go away a little bit more broad-minded. We will all go away a little bit more broad-hearted. That we will all have expanded our circle of compassion a little bit further beyond our circle of understanding. Thanks be to God. One way we try to talk about the mystery that is God's presence among us is through our creeds and affirmations. So I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 881 in your hymnal and join with me in one of the ancient affirmations of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called everyone together here for worship on this day. If you're a guest, we really welcome you with open arms. We invite you to introduce yourself to us if we don't find you first. It's a congregation of broad-minded and broad-hearted individuals. After the service, we invite everyone to join us out in Reed Hall, out of the doors here to our right, for a time of fellowship and information about the ministries of the church. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there is a gray card. One side is for questions or comments for the ministries, for staff of the church or for lay leadership. And the other side is for prayer concerns or prayer requests. You can check confidential or shared, and those will be distributed more broadly or less broadly based on your requests. If you've not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, I invite you to do that now. And then when it comes back by, take a moment and look at the names of the people who you're worshiping with. Part of being in community is getting to know each other. We'd like to celebrate with Chris and Kristen Sterling on the birth of their son, Stephen Andrew Sterling, who was born May 16th. Stephen is welcomed also by his big brother, Alex. Our sadness and our condolences are expressed to the family of Bishop Roy Clark. Bishop Clark was a senior pastor here from 1967 to 1980. Doesn't seem like a long period of time, but during that time, he had significant impact on the culture and the ethos and the broad-mindedness of this congregation. He then was elected bishop, served in South Carolina, and has had a significant impact on what our mission efforts look like across the globe. He really impacted the global church. Services will be held Wednesday of this next week, 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and a time of visitation begins at 12:30. Everyone, of course, is invited to attend. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our own tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is
very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we are worthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not being our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I am and with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle. After kneeling at the chancel rail, when you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll be served the bread first and then the cup. If you wish to remain for a time of prayer, you're welcome to do that. And when you return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, catch my eye or the eye of an usher or someone up here, and we'll be glad to serve you there. Every month, we take an offering at our communion service. And this month, the offering goes to support the mission trip to Guatemala, many of whose members are helping to serve you this morning during communion. They're hoping to raise $6,500 for materials that they can work with down there. And if you would like to leave a donation toward that, there are two offering plates right next to the front pew. You're welcome to leave your donation there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for thy many mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The folks who have been serving you primarily have been the mission team going to Guatemala. They'll leave early next Saturday morning. Also joining us is Daniel Russell. Daniel has been our intern here, very ably helping with the music program, but this is his last Sunday as well. So we're going to offer a prayer of blessing for all of our missioners. If there are others here who aren't already up here, please come join us. I think we're all here. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for these, your children, who are going on behalf of your children in this congregation to serve your children in Guatemala, all in your name. Be with them and lead them and guide them. They have been blessed so they can be a blessing to others. We know that with your leadership and your help, they can do that. Be with them in their going and their returning. Be with them as they reach out to folks who are sick, to folks who need help in various ways, as they build not just housing but relationships. Help us to always keep you and your love first and foremost in our lives. Help us to expand our circle of compassion beyond our circle of knowledge so that everyone may know of your great love for all people. In Jesus' name. And now I send you forth to expand your circle of compassion beyond your circle of knowledge and understanding, knowing that God, who created all of this and gave it to us as a gift, Jesus Christ, God's love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit allowing us to experience God's presence at each moment, is with you now and forever. Go in peace.
Amen.